Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at pvclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
My message today is no simple miracles, because Jesus has the power over all things. Jesus has the power over all things. He does no simple miracles. Reading today from Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 33. And then I'll continue Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 to 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 23 to 33. Then Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake, with waves breaking into the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." When Jesus arrived on the other side of the lake in the region of Gennesaret, two men who were possessed by demons met him. They came out of the tombs and were so violent that no one could go through that area. They began screaming at him, "Why are you interfering with us, Son of God? Have you come here to torture us before God's appointed time?" There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding in the distance. So the demons begged, "If you cast us out, send us into that herd of pigs." "All right, go," Jesus commanded them. So the demons came out of the men and entered the pigs. And the whole herd plunged down the steep hillside into the lake that drowned in the water. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town, telling everyone what happened to the demon-possessed men. Then the entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone. Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 to 8. Jesus climbed into a boat and went back across the lake to his own town. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat, and seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of religious law said to themselves, "That's blasphemy. Does he think he's God?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat and go home." Then the man jumped up and went home. Fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen, and they praised God for giving humans such authority. As we're preaching through the book of Matthew, so many powerful and pivotal messages for our very present time that we're living in. Now, these three stories, I've teamed them together. As I tell you, when I break up the books and decide what to preach, and sometimes even the staff or like the pastors who preach with me, they're like, But I know what I'm doing because I know where we've been and I know where we're going and I know what Holy Spirit's commanding me to lead the church into. Now, these three stories, we preached through the book of Mark. If you remember, 2 years ago, I preached through the book of Mark. And these three stories show up also in the book of Mark, which is the synoptic gospel. And that authenticates that these stories were real because all the disciples are reporting it in different ways. But I want to share these three stories in a different light, because what I love about the Word of God is that it's new every morning. It's new every time you look at it. In fact, even as I'm preaching this, I have other messages stirring. I phoned Christy. I said, "Christy, I've got to stop now because it can go till 4 o'clock because I'm seeing so much in the passage and I can't do that to our congregation." Oh, God, for the days of being overseas. So I'm preaching Matthew 8, 23 to 27, Jesus calms the storm. Matthew 8, 28 to 34, Jesus heals two demon-possessed men. Matthew 9, verse 1 to 8, Jesus heals a paralyzed man. And these three show us three things: the storms, the scary things, and the skeptics. Today it's about the storms, the scary things, and the skeptics. But there's no simple miracles, because Jesus has power over all things. You see, only Jesus can perform miracles. Many people will try to do many things, and they're even trying to clone people, and they're doing all this. But those are not miracles. Those are manipulation that actually works counter to the system that God creates. And then you see the devastation of what they're doing. Many things that are created are working against us. In fact, right now, one of the things that I just saw on one of those news channels, TikTok is the best TikTok, right, guys? You know, you just got to do something. Can you imagine, like, somebody gets famous for going, why am I not famous? Tick and talk that. But at the same time, the U.S. government now is trying to get schools and universities to ban TikTok. Why, young people? You guys don't watch the news, that's the problem. Because your information is being stored in China. That's what they said on the news. I'm not a reporter. I'm just saying that's what they're saying. Things that are created, and they think that this is wonderful, but the enemy is mass manipulating it for his destructive devices. And so the only thing that is real and that is lasting is the miracles of God. Now, last week, Pastor Dennis challenged you on the passage from Matthew 8 and verse 22. The following Jesus is where he left off, where Jesus told his disciples and the people listening to him, follow me now. I love it. He said, follow me tomorrow. When? Now. Now is the acceptable time of salvation. Now is the moment we have. Now is the hour. Now is the time. Follow me now. And so he even said to them, let the spiritually dead bury their dead. He was not saying let the dead rise up and bury their dead. He said let the spiritually dead. Do you realize we're in a day where there's spiritual death upon our nations because people have rejected reading the word of God, coming and fellowshipping together, hearing the word, and people are, as Timothy said, only wanting what their itchy ears want to tell them. So that's a spiritual dead. But Jesus says those that love God, of Christ followers, follow me now. When you follow Jesus wholeheartedly, guess what happens? You go from one miracle to another. How many can testify? Because you're following the Lord, what did you do? You go from one miracle to another miracle, because a miracle begets, a miracle creates a miracle. A miracle stirs faith for another miracle. That is why Jesus did miracles in his time. And see, faith should lead us to an act of obedience. But many people in Jesus' day and even now began to follow Jesus because of the miracles that he did. But many of those did not want to place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his power to change their lives. They wanted the good results, but they had no intention of recognizing his miracles, because his miracles should lead you to salvation. I shared with you the story already of a friend I had who was a lawyer, and he had a friend who was a judge who was having demonic voices, and the doctor said, it's nothing medical, you need to go and see an exorcist. So my friend called me and said, can you come and exorcise this judge? I said, yeah, I'll do it if you'll come to church and I'll have a team of prayer. And she said, no, I won't go into no church. I don't believe in religion. I just want the demons gone. I'm like, keep your demon. You cannot get rid of that without wanting to acknowledge that Christ did it. What do you think? I'm a magician? I'm going to come and wind, woof, woof, dabba, dabba, do your, you know. And many ministers would do it. Oh, give some money to the church and we'll get rid of it. No, in the name of Jesus, you're going to bow, because every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess he is Lord. Acknowledging Christ and what he has done is not enough. He must be followed. It's not enough to say, I know Jesus. It's not enough to say, I believe in Jesus. If we believe, then he must be followed. He said, follow me now. And that's what the world isn't doing. That's what many, even in church, and many who call themselves Christians, I'm a Christian, follow Christ now. That's what makes the difference. That's what brings life. That's what brings hope. He says in Matthew 7:26, but anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on a sand. That was preached a few weeks ago. Then Luke 11:28, he said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. It is not just hearing, it is obeying. So I want to encourage you today, if you have not obeyed the Lord by confessing him as your Lord and Savior online, in-house, if you've not done that step, that is what makes the difference. That is what will take you from miracle to miracle. But the greatest miracle is the gift of salvation, then takes you into other miracles as you see how God takes care of your life. By faith, we must accept what Jesus has done for us and believe without a doubt that his sacrifice for us is forever. There are many who believe Christ and you think, well, God, it's good for this moment, but will it be good for tomorrow? It's great for today. When we meet with the seniors this Thursday, they'll tell you God has been keeping them 50, 60, 70 years and it just gets better. That's the area that we need to come to in our minds. It grows greater as you serve Jesus. I haven't gotten bored serving the Lord. I'm more excited every day when I see what God can do. So as we follow him, we begin to upgrade our faith. Everything today is so quick and fleeting that we think that we can do the same in our spiritual life. My spiritual life is not about quick and fleeting. It is about growing from grace to grace, from measure to measure, from level to level. All right? And one quote says, for every devil, there's a new level. And for every level, you will find a new devil. But as you grow in faith, you're going to grow greater. And you begin to look at the devils and say, back up. Do you know, we have taken, I'm blessed with this worship we have. We've taken such a hit in our worship and our musicians. And look at us now, even out of ashes comes a young Caden playing on his own today. Come on, folks. We would wake up one day and have no one had we not had some crises. But out of every crisis comes a greater provision of God. I thank God for what he's doing. Do you realize today we had Carl at the young age of... And we had Caden at the young age of, they're like on opposite sides on one platform. Why? Because when God begins to do a new thing, it's not about the age or the stage. It's about the heart and the passion for God. The passion for God. Oh, I just have to throw it in here. Passion shows, folks, and passion sells. God's miracles should bring excitement and belief and praise. That's what it should bring. Oh, Pastor, would you pray for me? I need a secret miracle. So what are we going to do with your secret when you get your miracle? Because every miracle Jesus did was publicly done so people would see the glory of God on each other's life. Even the pains we have. That's why, if you wonder, why does she always tell us what's going on? I tell you what's going on in my life because when you see me stand here to preach, you recognize God is progressively doing his miracle upon my life. That's how we grow in miracle, is sharing the great testimonies of God. Because Jesus has power over all things in life. The storms, the scary things, and even the skeptics. The skeptics who attempt to keep you from true faith. So let's look at the storm. The disciples were on a boat. Jesus was on the boat with them when the storm hit. But their first reaction was fear, 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 fear. Their last reaction was faith. My question is, how will you respond in the coming storms of life when it hits us in this decade? Will you respond in fear or will you respond in faith? See, we're incapable of handling overwhelming situations that come on earth. And many times, instead of seeing in faith that Jesus is with us, we think Jesus is sleeping. Jesus was with them on the boat. Come on. Jesus is with you on the boat, disciples. And the first thing they're like, we're drowning, we're dying, it's over. Jesus, wake up. And Jesus says, what is wrong with you? That's translation. My question is, will you cry out? There will be storms coming. Are you going to cry out in fear or in faith? We have a propensity to see things with fear rather than with faith. When it comes, it's like, God, as long as I'm serving you, everything in my life should be perfect. And who are you? Who died and made you an angel? Because if you're an angel, you wouldn't be among us. And as long as you're in human flesh and you're serving God, expect some trials and tribulation, some oppression. If the devil isn't bothering you, he's got you. Come on, somebody. The disciples forgot who Jesus was and that Jesus was with them. Here's what they said, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. I'm sorry. God sent Jesus from heaven, born by a Virgin Mary, went through all the oppression of Herod trying to kill him, people trying to stone him, and now God is going to drown him on a boat with you people? Do you see how we allow the enemy to skew our thinking rather than thinking, there's a storm, but Jesus is with me. I want you to get that in your spirit. That's where we're going to have to get to. There's another storm, but Jesus is with me. The Bible says when Jesus got up, he says, peace, be still. That's what we want Jesus to speak into our storms. And then the disciple says, even the wind and the wave obey him. Do you know what's powerful? This is a message all by itself. Folks, even the wind that's going to come will obey his voice. Even the wave that looks like it's going to overwhelm you will have to obey him. If I can see the wind, I could touch it, but I can't touch it. Only Jesus can see the wind because he created it, but he can calm it. Nobody, no human can stop a wave. They can build as much things they want in the water. They can't stop a wave from crashing. But when Jesus speaks, he says, peace. That's going to preach good. That's going to preach good. That's another day altogether. Oh, I feel that one. Maybe I'll try it in an American style. I feel the wind coming. What reaction will you have when the storms come? What reaction will you have when the storms come? So let me move to point two, story number two. The scary. Demonic powers are now being glamorized and are already terrorizing our society. Do you notice? People are out of their minds. Look at what's going on. Every day we hear on the news, this woman is pushed in the tracks. This woman is this, and they're like, they're crazy. Everybody's crazy. But that's because they're watching and eating and devouring, not the word of God, demonic spirits and forces. And it's given freedom in our schools, in our homes, in our government, in the policies that are set that cripples church and allows evil practices to take dominance. In fact, even Disney, which stood for healthy family shows, has gone astray. And there's something Disney just made, which I just will tell you about it. And I read up on it. And one of the reactions as people complain, Disney said, when the government stops us, we'll stop. Until then, we'll keep doing it. Wasn't there a time when they did it for the health and the growth and the development of children? Now they want to make money, so they're going to put evil in, and only if they're stopped, but government won't stop them, so they know there's a gray area. But in the name of Jesus, they're going to stop. Disney, which stood for healthy children, has now gone to the point of making money on scary, demonic things. So in 2022, they did a series called Little Demon. Anybody know about it? Any of your parents know about it? Okay. Parents, you're not allowed to use your phone in church, but I want you to pull it out right now and go on Google and say Little Demon. Why are we doing it in church? Because we're going to defeat that little demon. It portrays a mother named Chrissy impregnated by Satan and her daughter Laura considered to be the Antichrist. The series has 10 sets. The first one, the title is First Blood. Second, possession obsession. Third, everybody's dying for the weekend. You wonder why kids are killing and thinking that it's just for the weekend? Popularity, origin of evil. Popularity, evil. Night of leeches. The Antichrist monster. Satan's lot. Domestic disturbance. And you wonder why the kids, you can't control them in the house. Did anybody find it? Is it there? Am I lying? Everybody get it off your phones in the name of Jesus. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. I plead the blood right now. Cover the place. In Jesus' name. Now close up all of those off the phones. I just wanted you to know it's real. Then here it continues. The tenth one is Village of the Found, where the demon mother and the Antichrist daughter travel in a deadly maze with Satan. Who's doing this? Disney. Parents, boycott Disney. Find a way to find other things. Go back to VeggieTales. They're still available. You can find them anywhere online, probably for free now. Families, pay the $99 and get PureFlix. I tried to get it myself and I messed up, but by the 21st it says I can try again. Pay the extra few dollars. We're paying a lot for cable. Cripple the cable companies. Spread the word. Let's start being Christians who show them that our money counts. This Thursday, starting this Thursday for 4 days at Landmark Theater in Whitby, because as I was researching, I found out there's a movie that came out, and I didn't even know it till I was researching. It's called Left Behind, The Rise of the Antichrist. It's here for 4 days on a premiere. But you didn't hear about it. And it isn't even on Landmark's site. You have to go through a site that looks for it. Why? Because it's Christian, and while Disney is talking about demons and Antichrist, this is going to tell us what the real Antichrist looks like. I went on to buy some tickets to go there to see it, and the theaters are all empty. There's only a few tickets bought. I'm begging my church, you know what? I'm going to change the trajectory. Go on, look for, Left Behind, The Rise of the Antichrist, and go spend your $15. You go for other foolishness. Go and fill up the theater and let these theaters say, we should have bought into it. We should have given them more days. I am about what we should do in the now, not just preaching some kind of word that makes everybody tickle. We've got to take the enemy by force, because the Bible says the violent will take by force and overturn the wicked. I gotta move on, but young people, so you're saying, what should I watch? You know what? I have been watching some good Korean movies. Anybody else watching Korean? Put your hands up. Aren't they fun? I mean, they're stupid, but they're fun. You trust me. Go on. I'll even give you a reference so you watch one. There's one called Crash Landing on You. How many watch that one? It's not good. See? Yeah, you go on there, okay? And you'll find it's funny and fun. But let's not cater. It's like, oh, well, this one's really good. I just skipped through the swear words. Why? I started this to say, the story of Jesus' power over the demoniac is real. When Disney begins to let kids play with demons, when you tell the story of Jesus casting out the demon, what they're doing is they're reversing it. So the kids will be like, but because they make it glamorous, they make it entertaining, they make the kids love the demon. So when you now go and say, demons were cast out in Jesus' name, why would you do that? That's so bad. Little Chrissy is a nice girl. That's the seriousness of where we're at, folks. But I believe as long as there's two people with like-mindedness, we can change a society. Jesus used his power to destroy the demons. Now our world is glamorizing them and causing people to live not in fear of it, but afraid of God and church. And I don't go to church. I don't believe in God. Minimizing the power of deliverance. Minimizing the power of Christ and the work on his cross. But I want you to know we will not be dismantled, and we will not have the fear of God diminish while the acceptance of Satan increase. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and we need to remember that and remind the world around us. Faith in Christ should conquer the fear of all other things. And I want you to know, folks, there is some scary times coming, but here's what I want you to take note of here. What happens when excitement in your spiritual journey meets with spiritual rejection? What happens? So let me read Matthew 8, 33 to 34. The herdsmen fled to the nearby town, telling everyone what happened to the demon-possessed men. Did you hear me? The entire town came out to meet Jesus, but they begged him to go away and leave them alone. I'm sorry. Let's just deal with this. What happens when excitement meets with spiritual rejection? I'll tell you what happens. People make the choice to remain in the bondage to fear. That's why we're seeing what we're seeing nowadays. Just imagine how shocked these herdsmen must have been when they were the ones. Remember, the pigs were out on the countryside, on the hillside, right? They're not in the town. These demon two men used to come in town and terrorize everyone. It was uncontrollable. But now these herdsmen are there with their pigs, and they're feeding them on the side. And the demon from the two men begged Jesus. It wasn't one, it was legions. They begged Jesus, if you're going to cast us out, because they knew the power of God, if you're going to cast us out, cast us into the pig. And Jesus cast them into the pig, but Jesus drowned the pig. So that was it. Now, the herdsmen are like, what do the young people say? OMG. That's that, all those emojis going crazy right now. We gotta use every social media thing to tell this, because that's what they do right now, right? So every social media is lit up. We were on the hillside with pigs. Jesus came along. Those two demon-possessed men, the ones that like were terrorizing everybody, the demons started to scream and beg Jesus to go in the pig. Jesus put them in the pig, but then Jesus drowned the pig down in the water, and now the pigs are gone, the demons are gone, and these two demon-possessed men are normal. You can't believe that this just happened. And so they're there. You got to hear the story. And the whole town came out and they heard the story. And they should be running to go, Jesus, Son of David, heal and deliver me. Heal and deliver my children. Heal and deliver my school. Heal and deliver Durham. Heal and deliver Ontario. Heal and deliver Canada. Get out of here. This is the word of the Lord. What they were saying is, we prefer to make all the money we can rather than see people freed from their bondage. Give us the demons, but get rid of Jesus. And that is prevalent today. Many people prefer living in fear than living in faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, people, even Christians, are doing the same thing today. Let me tell you about where this was. Capernaum, where this happened, was a very wealthy city at that time. It was a main fishing port. A fishing trade was lucrative, and it was a grand city. All those who went with me to Israel, remember Capernaum? Let me see your hands. And all of you who went, you were in Capernaum. It's a wealthy, prosperous, it was a wealthy, prosperous fishing town at that time. And Jesus' message to them in Capernaum was, follow me. Follow Jesus' lifestyle. But they were like, no, because your lifestyle, Jesus, right now means we can't be corrupt. We can't allow ourselves to just ignore the people who are in bondage. You want us to live this good life, and we prefer to have a quest for wealth. We are entrenched in our desire for wealth. It is all that that matters to us. I don't care about inner peace. I don't care if I destroy my family. I don't care if I destroy my grandchildren. I don't care if I destroy my society. I don't care about anybody. I want to be a millionaire. I want to be rich today. I want to be like all the rich people in Hollywood. I want them to pick me for rich person in Canada. I want them to see my wealth and all that I have. So let all those people die in their bondage. Go take the demons out of the pig and give it back to the men, because we want you out of here. Anybody with me this morning? One of the biggest problems that our society is facing is greed. The nations of the world are not suffering because God hasn't provided. They're suffering because of greed. Many nations, kingdoms, governments, officials, what's the biggest thing going on? Everyone being pulled down for corruption. Put in power to bless the people, but corruption. But may we as the children of God change the atmosphere, change the trajectory. Our quest is not how much of a millionaire we could become. And I've told you this before. Right now, just the way the housing market is in Canada, pretty much all of us are close to a millionaire. Can't get out of what we got. Can't even pay the mortgage. It's not the money that matters. It is what is in the heart. Last point I've got to share quickly. Christ followers, be very conscious of your perspective. Be conscious of your perspective. Matthew 9, 1 to 3, some people brought to him a paralyzed man. My third point is the skeptics. Because even as I'm preaching, I've got a few of you are online that you're still skeptical about. Well, pastor, there's another way. You don't have to go that hard at it. Other pastors preach better, you know. If you could only preach, you know, I would be loved if I could only preach like some of the other pastors who just preach the three nice points and make you happy. I'm not called to that. The skeptics. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on the mat. Seeing their fate, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Be encouraged, child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of the religious law said to themselves, "That's blasphemy. Does he think he's God?" So here's the story. Some people with desperate faith reached out to Jesus from a grave situation. They had compassion for a friend, a man who could not help himself. And so here they were, their deep compassion, they're broken in it. And they're bringing their friend to Jesus, desperate for help. So desperate that they're removing the roof of somebody else's house just to get the man to Jesus. And while they're desperate, instead of the religious people seeing the desperation to help another one be freed from their bondage and their sickness, the religious crowd had an issue with Jesus. You never notice that the religious people will always have an issue with something insignificant? Folks, this year, 2023, let us stay focused. Everybody has got issue this, issue that. What about me? What about this? What about that? In the name of Jesus, people are dying and going to hell, and he's coming soon. Take your issue and go elsewhere with it. We need to see people saved, every chair filled, every room filled up, children coming in masses. We don't have time for religious issues. They even oppose Jesus. "Who do you think you are?" And Jesus is like, "Well, last I heard from heaven, I was the Son of God. But if you have a different memo, let's work it out and see what you can do." That was Jesus's. In fact, Jesus was healing the man, and they're like, "What? You can't break our ritual. We have a way of doing things around here, Jesus. Tell the man to come back when it's not the Sabbath. Tell the man to come back when and say other words." These are the words you should say, Jesus, not those words. And just like, "Yeah, your words are good, and they might pontificate well, but do they have any power?" Remember the centurion, Jesus commanded him for what great faith? Why? Because he said, "Jesus, your power is so great, don't even come to my house, just speak the word and send it." That was a centurion who was a Roman who was not a Christian. And he's saying, your word is so powerful. And here the religious people, the ones who studied the law, the ones who said they were God people, they're the ones that they're opposing Jesus at every level because Jesus is never doing it right enough for them. Oh, bless the Lord. Folks, you ain't ever going to do it right enough for everybody. But all you got to do is right for God. So Jesus gave them one up. He says, all right, you don't like how I said it? I told the man he was healed. But guess what? You skeptics, you need to know my power will always be at work. Man, get up, take the bed with you, and walk. Now, these four men carried him in the bed. This is how I love Jesus' sense of humor. This is a sense of humor moment, eh? Four men brought him on a bed because he couldn't walk. And Jesus said, you're healed. So basically, they could bring him back, and then he gets, you know, gets off the bed. And just like, all right, you want to oppose the power of God? I'm going to reverse the miracle. Four men, just put the mat down. Men, get up yourself. Don't even lean on him. Take up the bed they carried for you, and you carry it yourself. Take that. Boom, shakalaka, that's how it works. That's how you do it. Don't you just wish you'd... There you go. Tick and talk that there. The power of God is unfathomable, then and now. Let's remember, folks, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We have an angelic host that does his bidding. He spoke into the world and came into existence. He breathed and life came into humans. He caused the flood to rise and it rose above the tallest tree, but a boat floated over it all with animals as big as elephants, giraffes, and water buffaloes that weigh how many tons in it, and it's floating above the tallest tree. You got to think about that. He made the walls of Jericho come down from people walking around it. I keep reminding you, it wasn't the walk around Jericho, it was the angels dancing on the wall. It wasn't the shout of the voices, it was the trumpet of heaven. He caused the sun and the moon to stop for Joshua. Christ performs no simple miracle. He has power over all things, and faith in Christ conquers all. Conquers the storms that are coming in our lives. It will conquer the scary things, even when others tell you, you shouldn't be like that, you know. Don't get so hyper-religiously sensitive. Folks, I've ministered in Africa for over 20 years. India, Asia, cast out demons. There was once, in one service, Mother Merle was with me there, a number of other people. I was preaching the word in a crusade. We had a tent. We always had to have a place where we bring the demoniacs, because when you start to preach the word, they act up. And I was preaching. And as I preached and preached, the tent, people were just, the power of God, demons were just screaming out. They would bring them because they're used to that world of knowing, recognizing. Here we toy with it. We entertain it. We even sit with it. We even bring it up. Sharing this for a reason. And there came a time they sent word to me, stop using the name of Jesus. Just talk to the people. Tell some good stories. Give us a chance to empty the room. We're full. See, the services there aren't 20 minutes or 30 minutes. They're hours, so it's okay for me to get a break. So I was okay. Drink water, calm down, talk a little bit with the people. They were casting out demons in the name of Jesus. There was one point. I walked in. I had somebody sing. I had the worship team come like this and start singing, and I went to see how they're doing because it's real. And I walked in, and this one lady from my team was praying for a woman. And the woman said, all right, I'm coming out. She was like, oh, she's coming out, it's coming out. And one of the African leaders, a pastor, came over and go, in the name of Jesus, and began to rebuke the demon. And said to the woman from my team, that demon don't speak your language. It's not coming out, it's fooling you. And began to cast out that spirit. We watch them clean one after the other, one after the other. The problem in North America is that we don't really believe in it. So we entertain it. We entertain it because we want to live in our own little petty sins and not be disturbed. Because you see, when that type of spirit begins to move, you clean up the petty sins. Because you can't, it can't stay among you. Because the demon will turn on you. That's why we prefer to keep it. But I have a news for you. We're preaching through the book of the word of the Lord through Matthew. We're watching demon activity all over Ontario. People pushing people, people shooting people, people walking up and stabbing people. A guy in a bus in Winnipeg goes and cuts off. Remember when cut off people's head? That's not normal. And it's not. Everything is blamed. Mental illness is a real thing that many are suffering with. But now everybody's lumping these people in with mental illness, and that's not what it is. And the church needs to understand we have the power and the authority in Jesus' name to cast these out. So I want you to know there's going to be some release in the time to come. The Lord's been calling to the churches all over North America, clean it up, 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 clean it up. Because people are in bondage. The religious crowd said, Jesus, leave our city. Leave us with these two scary men that could tear and terrorize our families. Coming out of the grave and the tombs. Leave us with them and you leave Jesus. And for a long while, the religious crowd were happy with that. For a long while, the church is happy with that. But in the name of Jesus, there's too much disaster in our city. Too much disaster in our nation. People need to know where to bring them. And because the house is clean. Can I say it again? Because the house is clean. When they come, those powers will have to bow in the name of Jesus. We can't leave people in their bondage. We can't be happy to leave people in their bondage. Oh, I'm so over. My staff laugh at me each week. But it's because I'm the lead pastor and I have something to say. People need to know where to come. This is a house of healing. It's a house of deliverance. It's a house of miracles. Miracles increase miracles. God's authority, we cannot hide from it. Faith in Christ, we cannot deny it. We've got to embrace God's supreme blessing and follow Christ. If we're followers of Christ, follow Christ. Follow Him without excuse. Follow Him without fear. Follow Him in complete faith. Can I ask you, are you a follower of Christ? If you're not a follower of Christ, today's your day. Now, follow Him now. Bow your heads with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to those online, those in-house. Follow Jesus now. To follow You, they had to confess, and today they still must confess that You are Lord, the Lord of our lives, that You came as a baby, that You died, sacrificed Your life, Your blood was shed, that we would be delivered, we would be healed, we would be set free, and we would have eternal life with God. Father, I pray now, God, every person who's been resisting that, because the skeptics have kept them in bondage. The skeptics have frustrated them. God, I remove the skeptics from before them. Jesus commanded a new miracle to show the skeptics the power of God. Father, we ask for a new miracle, the miracle of salvation all over Ontario, all over Canada, all over the world, wherever people are listening to this message. Lord, let a new miracle happen right now, the miracle of salvation in masses, that many lives will be changed and minds would be set free, bondage broken by the power of the Holy One of Israel.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.